What's up with NSCDS? What's up with NSCDS? What's up with NSCDS?
On this episode of What's Up with NSCDS,
which stands for North Shore Country Day School,
we answer the question, what's up with Live and Serve, the school's motto?
It has been our motto for at least 90 years.
The first page of the 1923 mirror, which is our school's yearbook, shows the school's logo from back then, an oak leaf in a circle surrounded by the words North Shore Country Day School. Right below the logo is the phrase, Live and Serve.
This phrase became part of the logo a few years later. The cover of the 1925 mirror shows three acorns on a shield on top of the letters NSCDS. A banner below the shield says, Live and Serve. We are still searching through the school's archives for exact proof that Live and Serve was the school's motto even earlier. Maybe even when the school was founded in 1919. We will let you know when we find out more.
We do know that as long as NSCDS has been a school, teaching its students to live and serve has been an important mission. So we read copies of the mirror from the first 25 years of the school, searching for examples of live and serve in action and of NSCDS doing service projects. Just like us today, students in those earlier years worked hard to make the school, the local community, the nation, and the world a better place. This is what we found.
Service began on campus. Students from all grades helped take care of school and even run the school. The lower school had its own student government. This is what they wrote in the 1927 mirror.
We have the house committee, whose duties are to keep the halls clean and keep the toilet rooms clean. The lost and found committee get lost things and put them in a box. At the end of the year, if there are many things left, they send them to people that are less fortunate than ourselves.
The grounds committee tried to keep the grounds clean. They not only keep picking up things, but make other people do it. They also see that there are baskets and places to put all the fruit peelings. A new improvement was made when painted metal cans were substituted for the flimsy bushel baskets used in former years.
The courtesy committee are trying to make the school more courteous. They are making a little booklet to give each member of the lower school with hopes that it will help them to remember to be courteous.
Interaction among students of different grades was also an important element on campus, as noted in the 1936 mirror.
Freshman girls have been working this year with the lower school in connection with social studies. The purpose of this project is to give us experience with the younger children to see how our interests work in with theirs. We not only play with the children out of doors, but work with them in classes. We have also been reading to them after lunch, and though we are finding it quite a job, we are enjoying it.
Willoughby Walling Hall opened on campus in 1937. You probably know it as the lower school building. The sixth grade classrooms used to be in the building. This is how the sixth graders took on their role as the oldest grade in Walling Hall. From the 1938 mirror.
We thought that it was our business to set examples for keeping up the building. We have one person in the office of the third floor to answer the telephone. We have four shifts a day from 8:30 to 3:45.
Another building on campus, Lester Hall, once served as a boys' dormitory. In 1934, according to the mirror, the residents formed a work group.
We found to our amazement that some of the family chores, such as taking down screens, washing windows, raking leaves, and even building a bike shed, go better when done by a group. It was a valuable experience.
One of the biggest service projects on campus year after year was Dig Day. An article and poem published in the 1922 mirror tells about the day.
At 3 o'clock, all the classes were dismissed, and everyone was assigned his or her special piece of work. Some worked outside fixing up the grounds, others did their share indoors.
Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the worthy work of the children here. On the 20th of April in 22, the North Shore pupils and faculty, crew, formed a brigade that looked quite queer and started the work that was needed near. Willing Wallaby was quite a sight, painting the flagpole a dazzling white. A spacious tool house was given place by the side of Elliot in unused space. A rabbit hutch was partly made, and some had worked with rake and spade. At 5 o'clock, oh joyous hour, the refreshment committee came in power. The luscious donuts and ice cream cones were enough to gladden anyone's bones. I am sure of one big thing. None will forget this happy spring. A ray of sunshine, a laugh of glee, from 23 members of a NSCD.
Afterwards, a sixth grader new to the school wrote,
"We accomplished a lot on Dig Day. I have never been to a school before where everybody got out and worked. It did not seem like work."
The next year, in 1923, the sixth grade did a special project for Dig Day.
The sixth grade thought it would be nice to make a cement bench for the school. We went up to the room first period to draw pictures and decide upon the dimensions. After planning, we worked down in the shop for a long time making the frames, putting, and painting them. Then we mixed the cement and poured it into the frames. We put up the bench on Dig Day near the flagpole and painted it with white cement. 1923.
1 year later, in 1924, the mirror noted,
"The tools were brought in for the most part by the first, second, and third grades. It did seem so funny to see the little tots working with shovel, spades, and robes, which are mostly larger than themselves."
At 4:15, the upper school rushed out and began to work. Late in the afternoon, the tired and dirty workers gathered for refreshing ice cream cones and then went home, leaving the school immaculate.
In the 1940s, Dig Day became known as Work Day, and the tradition continued until the late 1990s.
In addition to taking care of the school and campus, NSCDS students also helped out others on the North Shore and in Chicago. In the early years of the school, this type of live and serve was done the best through the annual toy shop.
What was the toy shop? Selections from the mirror covering the first 25 years of NSCDS should give you a good idea.
One of the biggest successes of the year was the Santa Claus toy shop. The shop was divided into 7 different departments so that every kind of toy might be mended. Everyone in the school brought all the old toys he could find at home, and then the work began. There was a doll, a book, a boat, a paint, a game, and a mechanical department in which one might work. At any time, you might have seen little tots washing doll clothes, older ones mending books, or boys soldering old toys. Then everything was given a coat of paint at the paint shop and came out bright and new.
On the Friday before Christmas, all the toys were brought to the gym and were arranged in attractive groups for Santa to see. When he came, he was so pleased that he rewarded each worker with a check good for so many days of happiness. All the toys were then taken to the homes of poor little children who were not going to have a Christmas. As you can well imagine, there were many happy little hearts on Christmas morning, but I think the toy shop workers were the happiest of all.
1925.
Again, as last year, we helped Santa Claus with our toy shop by fixing up old and making new toys. In the book department, books were being fixed over with a well. Bound, reinforced, or perhaps rebound. If after all the repairs possible were made, a book still looked shabby, it was given a good coat of shellac, which brightened it up to look like new.
In the wood shop, toys were not only repaired, but also made, such as carts, doll beds, kitty cars, and wheelbarrows. Most of the things given out by that department were hurried to the lower school paint shop nearby.
1928. Lost and Found Committee.
At Christmas, we auctioned off all the unclaimed articles, and the money was given to the toy shop.
1930. At the traditional toy shop morning exercise, speeches were made, and Santa was located on the radio. After some appropriate static and music, which sounded rather familiar, Santa spoke especially to the North Shore children, thanking them for their support and hoping that they would do as much for him this year.
1932, a telegram printed in the mirror.
Western Union Telegram to Santa Claus, North Pole. We are willing to help in any way we can. Please send particulars as to the kind of toys wanted, work needed, and names of families who we can help. North Shore Country Day School, Perry D. Smith, Headmaster.
Santa's response.
Western Union Telegram. To Headmaster, North Shore Country Day School, Winnetka, Illinois.
We want all kinds of skilled mechanics, carpenters, veterinaries, surgeons, nurses, dressmakers, hairdressers, painters, electrical engineers, etc., and all the toys you can give us. We will send names of families later. Santa Claus, North Pole.
1933.
For the first time, large numbers of parents worked at school along with their children. After the distribution, we received various letters telling us how far, in a small way, our articles had gone to do good.
1936.
The toys were distributed among 19 charities. The can department collected over 1,500 cans of nourishing food.
1937.
Good times in the fourth grade.
A toy shop party with our parents was jolly. The supper tables were decorated with toys we had finished. We sent a large quantity of toys, canned goods, and clothes to be distributed at the Evanston Hospital.
1939.
The fourth grade noted,
we made a big picture with Santa Claus and his sleigh and reindeers and put a Christmas tree at one end. We put a bag of toys in the sleigh. We gave the picture to a children's ward in a hospital.
1940.
The toy shop began its annual drive for used toys, old clothes, cans, and began a new campaign for shoes. The climax to these months of work was the Christmas party at which part of the toys were exhibited. Santa Claus made a timely appearance to see what we had done and to check the list of charities we are taking care of for him. He joined the seniors in their dance with the kindergarten.
1941. The first grade at Christmas time. We sewed stockings and filled them with toys. We sent them to children who don't have many things to play with. 1942.
The policy of the toy shop this year was to make something out of nothing since the student government treasury was low and the prices of materials were up. We had to work on a very economical basis.
1945, third grade.
We made beanbag board games in shop and sent them to many nurseries as our share in the Christmas toy shop.
World events during the first 25 years of NSCDS's history affected the nature of Live and Serve, expanding the scope and reach of the projects which resulted.
The toy shop changed during the Great Depression, both in what it did and in its importance. Talking about the 1930 toy shop, the Mirror stated,
because of economic conditions, two departments were added to the toy shop, namely the old clothes department and the canned goods department. The old clothes department took in and repaired old clothes, which the pupils were requested to bring, and turned them over to the charities. Each child was requested to bring at least one article of canned goods, and the resulting collection of nearly 1,100 cans was distributed among the needy by three Chicago charities.
In December 1931, in his message to the school, Santa stressed the great need caused by current economic conditions and appealed to the student body and faculty alike to come to the aid of the less fortunate.
In 1932, quote, everyone associated with the school gave up some of their time to help the toy shop meet the great demand placed upon it at that time. The entire school felt great distress and contributed more of their possessions than ever before. Unquote.
A decade later, World War II greatly impacted and shaped the notion of Live and Serve at NSCDS. At the commencement for the class of 1941, Mrs. Childs, the Latin teacher, told the graduating seniors and all assembled the following.
The growth of North Shore in 1940 to 41 has been like that of the sturdy trees around Knowsley and Dunlap, roots reaching ever more deeply into the earth, branches spreading ever more widely toward the outer world. The common interests between parents, faculty, and students in varied joint committees and projects have deepened and strengthened. These three groups have joined again and again in discussions on our responsibilities to parts of the world that once seemed too far away to concern us.
In addition to its usual tasks, the upper school student government in 1942 was busy with an additional jobs connected with the controlling of the school's wartime program.
To mention a few of these new tasks, there was an air raid precaution program, which was handled by mostly the seniors. The Junior Red Cross, the waste paper collection, to be used for shell cases, and then selling of defense stamps every Tuesday and Thursday in the lunchroom. All of these problems gave many more students the experience of government than ever before.
The 1942 mirror had a page dedicated to national defense, which noted that
the sophomore girls, under the direction of Dr. Landau, did their bit by working for the Red Cross. They knitted sweaters, suits for youngsters, and Afghan squares, as well as turning out sewing kits.
The lower and middle schools sewed for the British War Relief and collected things such as old medicine bottles and broken records for the USO.
NSCDS continued to support the war effort in 1943 in even more ways, as recorded in the pages of the Mirror.
Third grade, Stripes for Victory. One day we were sitting in the corner working for British Relief. We got the idea of having a club. We want to help win the war. We want the third grade to pull together and have no more ganging up. Everyone has to pull together to help win the war. We started bringing scraps and coat hangers. We have sold 944 coat hangers for $9.44. We have $28 now, and we are going to raise $50 for the Red Cross before June. Everyone is working to earn $2 by raking leaves and washing dishes.
The a cappella choir remained active in the war effort through 1945.
As usual, the a cappella made its appearance before music clubs at Great Lakes Naval Station and at the Christmas program here at school. The money received by the choir from their various visits is sent to the Master Records Company, which sends records to the servicemen.
Among the servicemen were alumni of North Shore who served their country in the military. In the lobby of the Dill Street Theater, there is a memorial to those who died fighting in World War II. If you have never stopped to really look at it, you should. Dorothy Warner Sills, class of 1938, remembers those classmates whose names you can read on the way to and from Morning X.
We were a class that went to war, Second World War, when Roosevelt was president. And we had a class of 50, and five of my classmates were killed in that war, five boys. Billy Scribner, Sheppy Marsh, John Bagley, Fee Mercer, two with the artillery and armored devices in Germany, and one in an airplane, and one in the Navy, and one in France in the landing. So we lost 10% of our class in that war, which we still remember those guys to this day.
Back on campus in 1945, the whole school, quote, lay down its books for a day and donned its oldest clothes to get busy and make the Harvest Festival a success. One committee canned pints and quarts of fruits and vegetables. Several teams went out to nearby farms to help the farmers get their crops, and in return received a part of the food. We sent to Chicago Commons squash, to St. Francis Hospital squash, pears, apples, cabbages, carrots, and beets, to Evanston Hospital cabbages and squash. The school kept some tomatoes and applesauce. Altogether, it was a very successful day.
In 1923, the theater was added to the young, growing NSCDS campus. The Mirror imagined a conversation between all the buildings of the school.
The new building found that it was in pleasant surroundings. Its life became joyous, and it was waiting to be occupied. One day, after all the children had gone home, it gathered round the old willow trees with its friends, Elliot, West, Knowsley, Lester, and the gym. They were discussing what each did for the school. I, said Old West, take charge of the business of the school. Also, I have the study hall. I would not trade my job for anything. But I, said grim old Knowsley, have all the big boys to watch. And besides, my poor old legs can hardly stand up after the lunch line has gone through. Then spoke the gym in its bass voice. Yet think of me. I have a scramble over all my floor all day. No one else knows how nice it is for me when morning exercise time comes around. I claim that is my own pleasure. I, said Elliot, give the youngsters a start in their education, and I house the shop. Nobody could have a better job than I. Last but not least, bashful Lester spoke and said,
and I am the teacher's pet. I am bright and sunny and try to bring joy to the children and teachers. And then turning, it asked the new building, "And what are you going to do for this school?" It answered in those words, which are so often heard around the school, "I don't know, but I shall try to live and serve to the best of my ability."
And for over 90 years, students, faculty, and parents at North Shore Country Day School have done just that. And this school year, and every future school year, we will undertake countless projects, both large and small, old and new, to make the world a better place, as we carry on the tradition and school mission to live and serve.
Thanks to all the students, teachers, alumni, and parents we interviewed or who supplied their voices to this story.
That's all for this episode of What's Up with NSCDS, brought to you by Third Grade Audio.
What's up with NSCDS?
What's up with NSCDS?
Produced by Third Grade Audio.